welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. I am happy today to introduce my first guest, Hollywood actress Dee Wallace, who is releasing her third book, Bright Light. Dee has made 130 Hollywood movies and worked with every kind of co-star from Cujo to Lassie, as well as countless directors, producers, and some of Hollywood's biggest names in movies. Her movies range from some of the scariest to the funniest ever made, including Cujo, The Howling, Ten, The Frightening, and Critters. Her most famous role was as Mary in E.T. She has also starred in 4 television series and more than 400 commercials, and is one of Hollywood's most sought-after TV guest stars. She is also an internationally known healer with 2 global radio shows and a series of healing seminars. Bright Light by O Books takes readers along on Wallace's emotional, spiritual, and professional journey and is available at all major bookstores and internet sites. More information is available at www.imdwallace.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Dee, and I look forward to hearing about your spiritual evolution. But first, I want to hear a little bit about you and Hollywood. Yeah. So when you went to Hollywood, you secured jobs right from the very beginning. Now, can you tell the listeners about some of the highlights of your acting career?
My goodness, I started in just a little tiny film called E.T., The Extraterrestrial, and then over 130 movies. Some of my most popular are Cujo, The Howling, The Frighteners, Rob Zombie's Halloween, Critters, lots and lots of movies of the week. I've had 4 series on the air and done over 400 commercials, and appeared on just about every talk show known to man. So, in a nutshell, that's it.
Great. What was it like to work with actors as diverse as Drew Barrymore in E.T., Jason Lee in My Name is Earl, and Michael J. Fox in The Frighteners? And who are your favorite people to work with?
Well, you know, Drew was a little girl so when I worked with her. And I oftentimes find that child actors, if their mothers haven't gotten to them too horribly badly, are some of the purest actors that you can work with. Unfortunately, I didn't have a lot of scenes with Jason, but the whole set on My Name is Earl was just a big party, and everybody came to have a great time, the producers included. I was very fortunate to be there for those few short weeks. And Michael J. Fox, again, beautiful man, kind, very giving actor. And he was starting to become ill while we were doing The Frighteners, and I don't even think he knew why he was feeling bad. So he was spending a lot of time more on his own than he probably would have normally otherwise. But I have to say one of the most beloved people that I've ever worked with is Dudley Moore in 10. We just had an amazing time together, and again, just such a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful man. Incredible creative. So many of my co-stars have been children. I mean, I couldn't have asked for a better co-star than Danny Pintaro in Cujo. He was amazing. But probably my favorite co-star to work with was my husband, Christopher Stone. We did so much together. And that he was the love of my life. So we had a great time creating on and off the stage.
Great. Now, Dee, can you tell us why the role of Mary in E.T. was not only your greatest gift, but also your greatest setback?
It worked on several levels, and I go into this in Bright Light. This is one of the stories that I think everybody can relate to in Bright Light, because the book is really every man's story. Obviously, it was an incredible movie. Obviously, it became the blockbuster of all time at that time. Shot me to stardom, catapulted me in the business, And because of that, a lot of the lessons that Deanna Bowers from Kansas was taught really got plugged in again about don't go too far, too fast, don't say you're good, don't cherish and announce your greatness to the world. And so when that happened with ET, I, in order to protect myself and stay committed to those limiting messages, pulled my light way back within myself and kind of stopped creating me on a very large level. So I made my career and then sabotaged my career all in kind of a two-year span there and didn't understand at all what was going on, because when we do that, you see, it looks like the world is doing it to us when it's really us being created by our fears and our limited perceptions.
Dee, you mentioned Bright Lights, your new book, and can you tell us some about this? And in the book, you recount some of your childhood experiences, including the suicide of your father, and you talk about how that helped form your life. Can you talk about this for the listeners?
Well, I mean, obviously, your father is your first male role model, and your parents are the first gods in your life. So a lot of your belief system is put into place, not only listening to them and being taught by them, but watching them and seeing how the world affects them. So for me to grow up as a young girl, watching my father's severe alcoholism, never being able to depend on what was going to happen to me or to my family from about 6 o'clock in the evening on, to always be in fear of violence, not physical, but the emotional and mental abuse that went on, the yelling, the screaming, knowing that I, at the young age of being a freshman in high school, had to become the mother, kind of, and take care of my little brother, had to earn a lot of the money because my dad didn't, so started me in modeling. All of these things definitely affected my relationship with men and my ability to depend on men and know that I was being honored and taken care of. Ultimately, he committed suicide. And again, no matter who you are, whether it's a friend or a parent or your mate, that is a devastating abandonment that you believe you are responsible for that creates a huge amount of guilt in your life. And until you come to the realization that you can't create for another person, but you definitely keep creating yourself by the reaction you have to these things, until you become empowered with that knowledge, you can live much of your life in grief and guilt and, again, shutting your bright light down. So my father's love and belief in me, and on the other side, his inability to be depended upon and his abandonment, you see, was a huge dichotomy in my life that it took me years to put together, because I felt unconditionally loved by my father and I was abandoned by him. So when we collapse those things together, it becomes very confusing commitment that when I'm loved, I have to be abandoned. So the more conscious you can become, we all can become, of these messages that are running us, the more freedom for our own creation and who we want to be now is, it becomes a possibility for us.
Now, Dee, you mentioned your husband, and I'm sure that the relationship with your father then had a big influence on your relationship with your husband. Can you tell us a little bit about that relationship and how his death impacted you?
Well, Christopher was my best friend, my soulmate. We did a lot of films together, created an amazing daughter together. I always felt very safe with Chris. He was an ex-Marine who had a heart of gold, and those two things together created safety for me.
Mm-hmm.
So he would take care of problems. He would definitely call me on my limitations. He would lovingly point out when he thought I was wrong and help empower me. So for 18 years, I had found my port in the storm, you can say.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly, while I was shooting the Frighteners, he had a heart attack and passed away before he turned 55.
Oh.
My daughter was not yet 7.
Mm-hmm.
So here I was. I had pulled myself back up from the devastation of my childhood years and what happened back then, and created myself and started shining my light and was in my power again. And then this happened. And that was really the catalyst, I think, that created all of this work.
Mm-hmm.
I dropped to my knees and I said, I don't want to be a victim. I don't want to be angry. I want my light back, and I want a way we can heal ourselves. And the next day, information started being channeled into me. I really didn't even understand
mm-hmm.
what I was getting, but I took it into my acting studio of 80 people, and we started refining it and testing it, and our lives started changing. And then, can you do it for my mom? Can you do it for my girlfriend? Can you do it for my husband? And then they wanted it for their friends. And pretty soon, cut to 15 years later, here I am
mm-hmm.
doing private sessions from all around the world
mm-hmm.
every day
mm-hmm.
and writing books on what I've learned about energy and the creation of energy and how the most important thing about energy is that we have to direct it.
Right, right.
It says in the I Am Discourses that your I Am presence, which is the creative force, which is God, Atman, Buddha, cannot create for you without your clear direction.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are not clearly directing what you want, then you are unconsciously directing the energy through whatever you're focused on.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, most of us are focused on a lot of fear, and we're wondering then why we're creating a world with more of it.
Right, right. It's interesting, Dee, that you had something that would look like a very negative experience in your life that brought about this change. And I had a similar situation in that I had a dream, which is God's way of speaking to me, or one of the ways, 36 years ago, telling me to get a chest x-ray, and I was diagnosed with lung cancer and given 6 months to live. Again, a very negative experience, but in retrospect, it was one of the most important changes, important situations in my life, and brought about changes that might not have come about had I not had that experience. Do you feel in retrospect that this was a positive outcome?
Yes, the lesson, if you choose to get the lesson, you see, that's where the pony is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the lesson that we both got is a doctor, a diagnosis, a disease, the loss of a husband,
mm-hmm.
doctors telling you you'll never have a baby. None of those things define your world or create your world unless you allow them to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what you and I learned was that we really are the captain of our soul, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And
definitely.
We are in charge of the creation of our fate, period.
Mm-hmm.
And until we accept that and know that, embrace it, and choose what we want, nothing changes. But when you do, everything changes.
Right, right.
And literally, when you create you first, the world that you live in must change to harmonize with who you are.
Mm-hmm. Dee, you said that the death of your husband put you on a spiritual path. Now, what are some of the most important things that you discovered on this path?
How powerful I am.
Mm-hmm.
And that I didn't need Chris to take care of me. That death and loss can absolutely be the beginning or the beginning again
mm-hmm.
the creation of you as love and power, and that truthfully, they never leave you.
Mm-hmm.
Ever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have signs and communications from Chris and my mom all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the rule that goes across everything is as you believe, it will be delivered unto you.
Right.
So
right.
If you don't believe that you can communicate with people out of body, then you will not be able to.
Right.
If you believe, for example, that alien life is here or will be here to harm us, you will create that reality because you will see anything that appears through that perception.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, my channel keeps giving me the message, it's not a sci-fi movie. The reality is, write your own virtual reality, and
mm-hmm.
that's what we will give you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, you've moved into a role of spiritual writer, spiritual teacher, and healer. Can you tell us a little more about your role as a spiritual healer and writer and some of the things that you're doing in this role, Dee?
Well, I believe my intention, the intention that I claim,
mm-hmm.
is to tell the highest truth,
mm-hmm.
the highest understanding of the truth, and to receive that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that's probably the biggest comment that I get. I just got an email from a listener of one, and she found my show and has been listening to a lot of the archives.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you know, I can't explain it. All I can say is when I hear the information coming through, I go, that's the truth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the truth I've always known.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm choosing to take that truth out by touring with people like Dolores Cannon. I'm speaking with Jeffrey Hoppe
mm-hmm.
of the Crimson Circle in Santa Fe at his big convention. I am writing books. The last one is Bright Light. The first one was Conscious Creation, which is all channeled information.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is The Big E, which I call my toilet book because it's, you know, a page or a page and a half each subject
mm-hmm.
of all of the things that we've been raised with. I'm doing two global radio shows right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're free call-in shows. You can find out and click right into them on iamdwallace.com. That's my website where you can find everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing private sessions all across the world, Tokyo, the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, every day.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think I take it out also whenever I perform in a movie. Because I don't think it's so much about what you do,
mm-hmm.
but I think it has everything to do with who you are.
Right, right.
Literally, the love that you are
right.
comes through whether you're baking cookies for the neighborhood, being a nurse,
mm-hmm.
Being an actress,
mm-hmm.
or being a healer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you heal with love. And
right.
love is our power.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what we do. So that's why I say who you are is where you need to start. Because if you're not being who you want to be, that's in harmony with all the things that you want to create, that nothing's going to change.
Mm-hmm. What you're saying, Dee, is also very important at this particular time because of the belief by many that we're moving to a better place, to a fifth non-dualistic world from a third dimension. And the things that you're saying are very important, the staying positive, the showing love, et cetera, et cetera. What have you found that people are thinking in terms of the ascension?
Well, the easiest way to say it is if you see the dark side, if you believe in evil, if you think everybody's out to get you, that's the world you create.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And no matter what happens, you will see the reality of that world because you're focused on it.
Mm-hmm.
And people like you and I see the world through the perspective of love and harmony and bliss, and everything's working out in the highest good for everybody. And so through our eyes, we see the perspective of the world that way.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is not better or worse than the other.
Mm-hmm.
It is simply a different choice.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. So when we can get away from the, oh, well, they don't know, or they're wrong, or they should believe like I do, if we allow ourselves to go back into that, we're only creating the limited things that religion's created
right.
for eons.
Mm-hmm.
We have to know that it's simply energy playing around with the different ways it can be created.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's
right.
all we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But what I would like to put out to people is we've had enough experiences of lack and disease now. We've played around that energy for a long time.
Right.
Why not create something else for a while and see how we like that experience?
Right, right. And I think many of us are thinking that way and are looking forward to that experience. There are those who also think that as we move toward a more fifth dimensional world, that karma will no longer be part of our reality.
I don't believe in karma.
Oh, you don't? Have you ever?
I have before I understood how it was created.
Mm-hmm.
And when it came up on the show, this is pretty much what the highest truth about karma
mm-hmm.
that was given to me through the channel.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how quickly you can change your karma.
Mm-hmm.
I'm nothing. I'm not worthy. I'm stupid. I'm fat. I'll never get what I want. That's karma.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm going to choose a new belief. I'm fabulous. I'm magnificent. I'm the creative force itself. I'm unconditional love. No karma.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So all you have to do to have no karma anymore
right.
is change your thought.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
People say to me, oh, come on, Dee, could it really be that simple? And my response is not if you don't believe it can be.
Of course, it isn't really simple. It's not simple to constantly change your thoughts. It's a slow process of reaching a point where you're positive all the time.
And let's create a new belief, okay,
mm-hmm.
that the process is easy and miraculous and literally can be changed in this moment.
Okay.
Now, there's a new unlimited thought we never had before.
Right, right. Okay. I'll keep that in the back of my mind, Dee.
Well, now, baby, if we're walking our talk here
right.
and we're saying, as we believe it's delivered,
mm-hmm.
then we got to change the belief that it's a slow process.
Mm-hmm.
If we want a miraculous new world and new earth right now, it can't take a lot of time, can it?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay.
Actually, I feel that my world where I live could not be much better, but I just remember the process that I went through to arrive where I am. If I had known that I could do this earlier, I could have speeded up that process.
Yes, but that's what we're here for,
mm-hmm.
teaching people. People know that now.
Mm-hmm.
So what we knew and what during the creation is
mm-hmm.
no longer valid.
Mm-hmm.
This is their creation, and we already paved the way to know what to do and that it can be done a lot quicker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right, right.
So we don't want to hold our limitation of what we went through in the creation, in teaching the creation of somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. Now, Dee, can you tell us about your book, Bright Light, Spiritual Lessons from a Life in Acting?
Well, it's pretty much how I learned all this.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to follow me just as a fan, you're going to love the book as much as somebody who wants to get the spiritual message from it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of great stories, a lot of great directors talk about a lot of my experiences and what went down on all the sets that I worked on.
Mm-hmm.
But interwoven through all those great stories is a greater story, I think, about me learning the power of me, that the creation of me is only up to me. And until I create myself and take responsibility for that, I can never be my bright light, which is my power.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I wanted everybody to get. No matter who raped you, abandoned you, belittled you, humiliated you, left you, abused you, whomever or whatever happened, in this moment of now, if you keep dragging that along with you,
mm-hmm.
you keep creating yourself as that story.
Mm-hmm.
And you are the only one that can go, been there, done that, what do I want to create now?
Mm-hmm. Now, Dee, can you give us then your websites again and where the listeners can locate your book?
Yes, sir. You can get Bright Light Spiritual Lessons from the Life and Acting at BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon.com, at Barnes & Noble stores, any of the smaller bookstores, especially the New Age stores. They can order it for you, so ask them to if they do not have it, please.
Mm-hmm.
You can get it through my website. If you order it through my website, I will be happy to personalize it for
mm-hmm.
you
mm-hmm.
and send it out. And my website, again, is iamdwallace.com. We just posted this amazing past life regression that Dolores Cannon did for me while I was on tour with her.
Mm-hmm.
Do yourselves a favor and go to my website and listen to this past life regression.
Mm-hmm.
It is nothing short of amazing and will shift your energy. It has to.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, I appreciate this very much, Dee. It's been very interesting, and I know the listeners are going to want to look at your book and learn what they can learn about living on a more spiritual life. So I thank you very much.
I thank you, too. It's been a lot of fun. Many blessings.
Thank you, Dee. Another uplifting issue of a distinctive style magazine filled with heartfelt stories about people whose passion in life is to help others can be found in the new summer issue. In today's media, with an emphasis on hurricanes, floods, fires, volcanic eruptions, global economic problems, social unrest, and other negative problems, these uplifting stories provide some positive energy and help us to realize that not all is wrong with the world. There is a good mix of stories, music, and movies in this issue, and one focus includes stories of recovering survivors of 9/11 in memory of the upcoming anniversary. Patricia Welch also sings United We Stand, written by her husband, Pete DuBerry, to describe 9/11. Enjoy the beauty of the Northern Lights movie, shot over 6 months in Norway, or read about toys that assist development in autistic children, or read about Sam and Amber Jagauer, both actors who maintain a happy home life in Hollywood and work with instead of against Mother Earth, or read about Brooke Burke, co-host of Dancing with the Stars, as she describes her new book, The Naked Mom, A Modern Mom's Fearless Revelations, Savory Advice, and Soulful Reflections. If interested in health, you will want to enjoy the movie on Firewater that exposes the truth about the harmful effects of industrial-grade fluoridation chemicals used in the water supply in Australia, or read about toxic chemicals in skin and hair care products, or view the movie about citizens fighting to protect their environment from coal mining, where the weekly detonations are shredding the landscape, poisoning the water, and devastating the community. These are some of the stories you will find in the summer issue of A Distinctive Style magazine. I know you will want to subscribe to this magazine at www.adistinctivestyle.com. My second guest is Brenda Hoffman, an intuitive since birth who formalized her channeling skills with the internationally noted channeled classic book, A Glimpse of Your Future. In the interim, she, like many of you, move through issues that allowed her to shift her beliefs from shoulds to creation. Prior to her recent retirement to the southeast part of the United States, Brenda held positions in corporate marketing, business management, and social services. She has a Master's of Science degree in sociology. Brenda has returned to her love of sharing her prophetic insights with others via her weekly channeled 15-minute blog talk radio Creation Energies show, free weekly channel blog for lifetapestry.com, and guest presentations on various BBS radio and blog talk radio shows, as well as channeling speaking engagements. More information is available at lifetapestrycreations.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Brenda, and I look forward to hearing what you have been told about the ascension.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you, Brenda. Now first, why are we transitioning into the new age?
It is time. It is time. We have been preparing for this for a very long time, both on Earth and throughout the universes, that to live in joy and love rather than fear and pain. And you have completed all of the lessons, as it were, in fear and pain. You have A-plus status in that area. You have completed those lessons. It is no longer appropriate or necessary, is perhaps a better word, for you to continue in fear and pain when you have learned those lessons well. The lessons that you are moving into are love and joy, and of course that sounds so easy, but we will give you a little test. Try going the entire day without being fearful or angry or frightened about something, and you will know how difficult it is to move into joy and love.
Great. Now, Brenda, how is the Mayan calendar part of the 2012 transition?
Yes. The Mayan calendar is a benchmark, an Earth benchmark, in terms of what is going to happen in the future. It is not the dramatic, the end of the world, the end of the universes, whatever. It is a benchmark. The Mayans had outside beings, forces, whatever you wish, information, that allowed them to know that 2012 was going to be a transition point if everything fell into place, which it has. So rather than the end of the world, it is more of this is what has happened prior. Now you are creating a new world, a new age, and so it is.
Then, Brenda, how does the transition affect the universe?
The transition starts, or started rather, in your individual self, in your micro, started in a micro fashion. And there was a point, you know, the two of you were discussing it previously, where you almost have to have your head in the sand not to have information about 2012, the ascension, the new age, the new earth, whatever you wish to use, or whatever term you wish to use, it is one and the same. And so as your cells expanded within your body and you became aware of it and you brought in the new age, for those of you listening, indeed brought in the new age subconsciously, the new earth, as that happened, you impacted the earth. Many like to think, because this is an analogy that is easy to understand, that the earth is birthing. That is, the rainstorms, the snowstorms, the volcanoes, the earthquakes, all that's happening. When you moved from a subconscious level of bringing in the new age and then you moved into your ascension transition process personally, all sorts of things happened in your life. It happened to Brenda 20 years ago, where in essence her life fell apart. And then she realized when she was done that she liked herself a great deal better, and that she was more whole than she was before. The same is happening to the earth. People are running in terror and saying this is happening and that is happening. In essence, the Earth is moving into its ascension, if you will, into its transition. And in turn, as the Earth does that, it impacts the planets, the galaxies, the universes, the cosmos. It is no different than your tiny cell starting and moving outward. And so the Earth, if you wish to think of it, is a cell in the universes, and that is moving outward. So it is this transition, this ascension, is much, much, much larger than any of you can even begin to conceptualize at this point. It is the largest transition that has ever occurred on Earth, or in truth, in the universes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Great. Now, what is the role of the baby boomers in this transition?
Ah, yes, the baby boomers. You know, the baby boomers have never quite blended in. You know, from the very beginning, they have been the flower children, the music. The 60s and 70s were about them claiming their personal power, moving in a new direction than anyone had moved prior in a more dramatic fashion. You know, other decades had had other transitions, but not quite as dramatic as the baby boomers. You know, those people in blue jeans and tie-dyed T-shirts stopped a war, you see. Is then for the next 20 or 30 years, they tried to fit in and be what their parents wanted. You are born, you go to school, you get a job, you get married, you have children, so they can start the process over again. Then they started waking up again, even though on a subconscious level. And it was the baby boomers who built the bridge to the new age, to the new earth. And when this all started, the game plan, if you will, before their birth, their game plan was that the baby boomers would build the bridge. Their children would easily walk across it. And the grandchildren, their grandchildren, would blow it up. But what has happened in the last few weeks through the eclipses and the new moons and all that is happening, as usual, the baby boomers aren't very good about fitting in, doing what is expected of them, shall we say. And so initially, after they built the bridge, subconsciously again, and they became more conscious of the ascension of the new earth, of the new age, they said, I want to walk across it. And now they're saying, well, what do we need that bridge for anyway? Let's just blow it up. So what we are saying is the ascension process, the transition into the new age, the transition to the new earth, which are all one and the same, is happening much more rapidly than the spirit world and the baby boomers before birth thought possible. Mm-hmm. They are gathering more energy into their being, they're shifting much more dramatically than thought possible. At this time, we do not know how far they're going to go. All we can say is, look at those baby boomers. What are they doing now? And we are as amazed as the individual baby boomers are. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Brenda, how will the shifts affect us physically, emotionally, spiritually?
Physically, you are becoming lighter beings. That is the energy coming in that we spoke of in a couple of questions ago about accepting more energy into your being. You're becoming lighter. Internally, not so dense. The Earth is known as a beautiful planet with a great deal of density. The ascension, the new Earth, is about a lighter Earth, a lighter being. If weights were given to fear and love and joy, which would weigh more, you see? And so it is becoming lighter. So internally, and the physicians have not yet necessarily noted it because it is starting at the basic cellular level, in a few years, there will be papers written about what is happening to the human body. Look at this anomaly. Why is this happening? But that does not need to concern you or even impact you because it is just happening for those people who wish to move into the new earth, to ascend, to be light workers, whatever. It is just happening automatically. The more you grasp the concepts and say, yes, that is the direction I want to move in, your body is shifting to meet that interest, that direction.
Mm-hmm.
Then emotionally, again, moving from fear into joy, overall does not seem to be that big of peace. But in reality, it is night and day. It is, you know, you think of fear as heavier and of a more grayed tone, of more color, and love and joy is bright and sparkly. It is that much of a transition. So emotionally, think of the difference between living in fear all day long and seeing the joy and feeling the joy and laughter and fun. It is, you know, you've watched two-year-olds play. There is a difference between a two-year-old and a 22-year-old graduating from college. There's a fear, what am I going to do in my life? A two-year-old expects to be taken care of, you see? And it's very, very joyful, very happy. Now, that is not to say that fear will be totally gone. Rather, that you're going to be painting with much brighter colors. There won't be the gray tone of fear. Your colors will be vibrant and bright and lovely. Now, in terms of spiritually, this is what this transition is all about, is to, in essence, heaven on earth, you see? Some people call it the universe. Some people label it God. It is all one and the same. It is the bright, glowing entity that is all there is. And that bright, glowing entity is sending the energy into the beings that are on Earth now, so they become lighter. So even though they might have a physical body, they have skills. We call it their New Age toolkit, more skills and more capabilities. You have long read about angels, and they can do this, and spirit guides can do this and that. A new toolkit is being downloaded into all of you that are interested, not those who are not interested. You know, that is a free will. But all of you who are interested, a new toolkit. Brenda likens it to maybe Microsoft Word. You know, you have PowerPoint capabilities, you have email capabilities, you have word processing capabilities, but not everybody wants to use all of those skills. And so it is with your new toolkit. You will have so many more capabilities than you've ever had on Earth before. It is your option what you want to use, but know that you will have the veils is probably the best way of saying mm-hmm. The veils are lifting. So the distinction between heaven and earth, spirit world, earth world, whatever phrase you wish to use, are lifting. You've had special people on earth, shamans, disciples, Jesus, Buddha, Confucius. They were familiar with fewer veils or no veils. And that is what is happening to you. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, Brenda, what if someone prefers not to consciously shift into the new age?
It is not a requirement. It is a gift. It is not a requirement. We have said a bit earlier that you have to have your head in the sand not to be exposed to it. But that does not mean you need to believe in it. You have to do anything. It's not a requirement. Think in terms of there are still farmers in the United States who use horses. You see, it is not a requirement to be a farmer and have a tractor with a air conditioning. You see, what we were saying, it is the same with this, is you can move into the new age or ascend or be a light worker, but you don't have to. And in truth, there are some who have said, I will anchor the fear, almost as a historical perspective. Or perhaps they have lessons that they wish to learn in the dense earth, the old earth. Each of you have individual roles. For instance, Carl is a holistic health magician, if you will. You see, Brenda loves channeling. Other people write books. You each have your own individual skills, and you are moving at a pace that is correct for you. If you prefer to be a farmer with no horses, that is fine. You do not have to participate in this new age. That is entirely your choice and also part of the lesson plan before you came down. The new age, the new world, ascension is going to be around for eons, just as fear was. So it is your choice. But we will add, this is quite important, do not berate those who do not wish to join your little wagon of joy. They have the freedom of choice, and a large part of your role is not to force anyone into anything. It is freedom of choice. The information is there. Those who are interested will grasp onto it. Those who are not will not. It is as simple as that. Yes, questions?
And will those who choose to remain in the third dimension have the opportunity later on to move to the new world or to the fifth dimension?
In a later period, it will be more difficult. This is, in essence, a golden age. What is the best way that we can say this? It is easier in this lifetime than it will be on any other lifetime on Earth, because what makes it so amazing is those that are interested will transition at the same time, and that is what you label as ascension.
Mm-hmm.
Is after that, it will be more difficult. It will be more of a closed environment. Those of you who ascend now will have additional knowledge. It will be a bit more difficult later on. That is what makes this lifetime, one, difficult, and two, so tremendously exciting, and that is why so many people have volunteered to come down. It is almost go-home-free card on this lifetime, but at the same time, you have condensed the trauma that many of you experienced as you're transitioning is very condensed compared to other lifetimes, where it might take you 5 or 10 years to work on an issue you might do in a matter of months in this lifetime. So the pain and the fear is deeper just because it's condensed. But by the same token, as you move through it, it is like taking a very difficult class in college and passing it. You see, is you can take the easier preparatory course and then take the more difficult course, but it takes more time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Now,
are there Brian, questions?
Is there anything else you would like to say about the ascension or about those who remain in the third dimension before we look at your books and services and how the listeners can reach you?
Yes. The key piece is, again, do not force anyone into your belief system, because then you in turn will return to the third dimension. Do you see is that is a big piece of the third dimension? You must be a Catholic, or you must be a Muslim, or you must be, that is of the third dimension. This is, here's a piece of information if you are interested. That is what is happening at this time. In terms of what is important is, we do not wish anyone to be frightened or feel that they need to run and get a book or find a guru or, you know, they will be left behind, the fear factor. Same with 2012. That is, if you cannot understand yet, that is of the third dimension. You are moving at a pace and in a direction that is correct for you. And if that means reading 3 books, that is fine. If it means reading nothing, that is fine. If it means talking to your next-door neighbor who is filled with love, and that is all you need, that is fine. Listen to your inner self, and you will move in a direction that is correct for you. There are no shoulds in this ascension process. And if there are no shoulds, there are no fears. You see?
Mm-hmm.
Is listen to yourself. You will know what direction you need to go and when. And, you know, do not be afraid of this December 2012. If I am not in this place by this time, I will remain on Earth and it will be horrendous and horrible. Forget all of that. Just move at a pace that is correct for you. That is part of your inner workings. And by the way, your new toolkit, listen to yourself. It is much more vibrant than it has ever been before. And do not be afraid if you find one day that you can channel. Do not be afraid one day if you do automatic writing. Do not be afraid if you have more skills. But also do not be afraid if nothing particular new is happening in your life other than you were just feeling a bit more joyful than you were yesterday. And again, tomorrow a bit more joyful than you were the day before. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You mentioned interdirected. So would you like to elaborate a little bit on inter versus outer or inter plus outer directed,
yes,
which you discuss in your book?
Yes. The previous eons, you speaking as the Earth as a whole, have been outer directed. Again, government told you what to do, parents told you what to do, the churches told you what to do, the mosque told you what to do. There are rules and regulations. And even though all of you are very wise and very spiritual in yourself, to fit on Earth, you allowed your inner being to be quiet, to listen to the shoulds. I should get a degree in this. I should marry this person. I should go to church 5 times on Sunday. You know, the shoulds. Inner directed is about you listen to yourself. It might not always jive with what society is telling you, but it feels right. It feels bright and light. A rule of thumb, if you will, if something feels heavy, if it feels darker, run as fast as you can. If you make a decision and it feels bright and light, that is your direction. That is the way to go. And perhaps an important decision in your life, whatever it may be, it might take a bit of practice to listen to yourself. Make a decision, but do not carry it through till the next day and see if it feels light and bright. That will be your answer. Yes, so now in the ascension, for the light workers, for the new age, it is listening to your inner self. That inner self will direct you. Brenda and Carl were talking earlier about Carl is finding people that are perfect for his shows without even looking. That is inner directedness. That is you knowing what is best for you. Outer directedness would be for Carl, which he never has. He is, of course, one of those wild people, just like the baby boomers. He has never listened to other people. But if he were to say, well, if I have this kind of show, someone might be offended. I better not do it. But he has never done that. You see, he has always been inner directed. Yes, question.
Thank you. If there's nothing more then, Brenda, that you would like to say, can you tell us about your books, services, and how the listeners can reach you?
Oh, how delightful of you to ask. Yes, I'm back. This is
okay.
Brenda speaking. Before I was channeling, you probably all realized that. I wrote A Glimpse of Your Future 20 years ago when I was going through my major trauma pieces. And surprisingly, even to me, it is a great overview of what is happening now. It tells how the medical world is changing, government is shifting and changing, perhaps not as fast as we would like, but it is I like to think of it as a precursor to the new age. It's called A Glimpse of Your Future. It's at barnesandnoble.com and amazon.com. But what I particularly love doing right now is I have a free weekly blog, and that's available at lifetapestrycreations.com. That's lifetapestrycreations.com, and that's free. And I also do a free 15-minute radio show at blogtalkradio.com. Both of those are channel pieces that, again, I think of A Glimpse of Your Future, my book, as start there, and then I do weekly updates, I do a weekly radio show, and I do a weekly blog, and that's information as I'm getting it more up to date. And how to get a hold of me, again, at my website, and that's www.lifetapestrycreations.com. And you can also look on the internet for Brenda Hoffman. I'm in there somewhere. So my name is Brenda Hoffman, and it's lifetapestrycreations.com. Thank you.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Brenda. This has been very interesting, and it's added a lot to the series on ascension, which has been going on for a while now and gets bigger and bigger and will continue for a while longer and will probably be another short series at the end of the year.
Before we leave, we wish to give you a personal piece of information, Carl.
Thank you.
Is you have no idea of how much you have provided to this ascension process. You know, you were out there before it was cool, to paraphrase broadly. You have dared to be a maverick, and it has not always been pleasant. We wish to give you extreme accolades and let you know how big your piece was in this entire puzzle. You know, everybody has their specialty, their interest area, their skill, but not everybody dares to step up to the plate, so to speak, and you have done so for decades, far before most people dared to do so. So we just wish to give you accolades and let you know a job well done. Yes.
Thank you, Brenda. I appreciate that.
Yes.
So, again, I thank you very much for joining us, and I hope that when I have another Ascension series at the end of the year, I can call on you for some more information.
Most definitely.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.